I'm Lauren.
And this is Mike.
And I want you guys to know that this is the third time we've started recording.
I got yelled at.
Okay, so I want to announce our new Instagram and Twitter and thank our listeners for getting us past our first goal of 50 listens. We are actually almost at 100 listens, which is a super big deal for me at least. I also want to mention a few podcasts and a YouTube channel. These podcasters and the person who runs this YouTube channel have been very helpful over the past week, giving advice and feedback and giving us shout outs on their pages. So I want to say thank you to Mountain Murders. I want to say thank you to Be Nice or Die podcast.
Great name.
David with the Backyard Ufologist YouTube channel. Booze and Spirits podcast, Obscure Anomalies podcast, American Slacker podcast, Abracast, and that is the end of our thanks. For now.
Yeah, for now. So nobody else gets thanked until later.
Yeah, in our future episodes, we'll be giving shout-outs to a few more people.
It's actually really cool how, as I watch you grow this, how all the podcast community works together. That's really kind of cool.
Most of the other podcasts are very friendly and it's been very helpful. Yeah. And it really is like its own community and everyone wants to help everybody else and they want to help other podcasters be successful. And I think that's really nice. So this is the second week of the month.
Oh, second week. Yeah.
It's the second week. So this is the second Tuesday in December. And the second Tuesday of December and of every other month in the future will be dedicated to urban legends. And we have technically two urban legends, but the second one has a lot of parts to it. So our first one is going to start with the Nain Rouge, which means red dwarf.
The my red dwarf. In high school.
I bet. I'm not laughing that hard because I've heard that joke like five million times.
But not for a Nain Rouge.
No. What was it? Steamed buns?
Steamed buns. That was 10th grade.
Yeah, I hear you. There have been many other nicknames. Kudos to whoever came up with all of
those. I spent a lot of years in 10th grade.
Okay, so have you ever wondered why Detroit has so much bad luck?
No. I rarely find myself wondering about Detroit at all.
Yeah, me neither. But I'm going to tell you why they have so much bad luck anyways.
Do they know they have bad luck?
Yes, they do. And they try to banish away that bad luck every year at the Marche de Nain Rouge, which is an event that takes place on the first Sunday of spring and has been going on for the past decade.
What does Marche de... What was that? Rouge... What does that mean?
I don't know.
Oh, outstanding.
So thanks. Thanks for that. I'm not sure what the translation is completely, but I'm sure it's like March of the Nain Rouge.
It's probably right, yeah. March of the Red Dwarf.
So, the purpose of this event is mostly to chase away or banish the legendary red dwarf of Detroit folklore. Some people do go here and take up for the Nain Rouge and tell people to stop being mean to the Nain Rouge because they don't think that the Nain Rouge is the bad luck. They think that the Nain Rouge is warning them of the bad luck.
Oh.
Okay, so at this event, the Nain Rouge actually makes an appearance where he taunts and then gets chased by the crowd, all of which are wearing masks so the Nain Rouge can't see who they are.
They must select a really fast guy or girl for that.
Well, I don't think it's like a legit chase. Oh. I think it's more like a parade kind of thing, and the chase is like chase, like in air quotes, you know?
Okay.
Okay, so all of this started in 1701 with Antoine de la Motte Cadillac. Or as an American would say it, Antoine de la Moth Cadillac.
Antoine the Moth Cadillac.
He is pretty much the founder of Detroit. Detroit means the Strait in French, but it was originally pronounced Detroit. So I don't know how we went from a lovely sounding name like Detroit to Detroit.
Yeah, because it's just how we do things. It's kind of like they took a great word, quinoa, and now they call it quinoa. So they kind of made it all messed up.
You know, I hate that. The legend goes that on March 10th, while Antoine was still in Quebec, before coming to Detroit to take land up for the French fur traders, he was at a party, which was dedicated to him. It was a party in his honor. So everyone's spending time together, laughing and drinking, having a good old time, when a fortune teller walks in with a black cat on her shoulder for some reason. And she begins to do some palm readings. And the men at the party are in complete awe of her ability, and she eventually comes to Antoine and she tells him that he is going to start a great city, but he begins pressing her for more information and it becomes bad news.
Oh.
She says, quote, "In years to come, your colony will be the scene of strife and bloodshed. The Indians will be treacherous. The hated English will struggle for its possession. But under a new flag, it will reach a height of prosperity which you never in your wildest dreams pictured."
Well, that's kind of interesting because there was a time where Detroit, the Motor City, was just at the, it was the place. I mean, it was a mecca of manufacturing and just absolute coolness. It's really struggled now, so.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that a little bit too. So he presses her further for even more information about what his children will inherit from him. And she says, quote, "Your future and theirs lie in your own hands. Beware of undue ambition. It will mar all your plans. Appease the Nain Rouge. Beware of offending him. Should you be thus unfortunate, not a vestige of your inheritance will be given to your heirs."
Oh.
So, naturally, he leaves this party, goes home, and has a good chuckle about it with his wife. So later on, there are many variations to how this went down, okay? One version says that Antoine was attacked by the Nain Rouge. He stumbled about upon the Nain Rouge, and the little red dwarf jabbed a stick at him, and so Antoine drew his own sword and beat at the demon until he ran off.
Rude.
Well,
apparently
the Nain Rouge started it. He was just defending himself.
So, you know, I did just get finished watching First Blood, so you drew First Blood, not me.
Oh, God. Okay. Anyways.
The Nain Rouge was like John Rambo.
Oh, jeez. So, other stories say that Antoine happened upon the Nain Rouge, and he proceeded to beat the Nain Rouge with a cane and yell, "Get out of my way, you red imp," at him.
That's it. The Nain Rouge is John Rambo. It's just like the movie.
Either way, the Nain Rouge was apparently very upset and placed a curse upon Antoine and the city of Detroit. At the time, Detroit. So, Antoine was eventually charged with abuse of power and reassigned to Louisiana. And then later returned to France, where he was briefly imprisoned and lost his entire fortune.
So the fortune teller was right on the money.
Yep. She's like, if you do mean stuff to the Nain Rouge, then you're going down. And your kids your whole family will be going down with you. So, yeah, that's what happened. And then apparently Detroit also went down with everything as well.
Well, it had a great run. I mean, like I said, it was the Motor City. 60s and 70s, well. Most more of the 50s and 60s. But.
So now we're going to talk some more about the Nain Rouge. Antoine's gone, okay? So Nain Rouge means red dwarf. He also gets called Demon of the Strait. And as we know, Detroit means straight. His appearance normally brings misfortune. The character originated in the early French settlement of Detroit and was derived from French tales of the Lutin. Lutin is a word that is used for leprechauns, pixies, goblins, imps, sprites, brownies, hobgoblins, etc. Good Lutins have powers such as controlling the weather to doing sweet little chores for their masters while they sleep.
Oh, like what?
So, you know, like that little story about, what was he? The guy that made the shoes.
Oh, the shoemaker?
Yeah. And then the little elves came. And
the cobbler?
Yeah. Yeah. And they would come and build the shoes for him. So I feel like it maybe it's kind of like that.
I can't really remember, but I believe there was kind of a... I have to look at the story up because I don't think it ended well. I think he offended them or something. Now I gotta go back. That's forever ago.
And then they turn into the Nain Rouge. While evil Lutins or offended Lutins, such as our Nain Rouge, may harass the house owner with any number of small bad luck. They say so small, but...
I guess it's important to really remain Lutin free.
You're the worst.
So there's like no Lutin in this.
I hate
Lutin
you.
Lutin free. Non-GMO Lutin free.
Stop. Stop it with your dad jokes. That was actually a really good one.
I was kind of serious.
So, they say that these offended evil Lutin would... They didn't... According to this, they like... According to what I researched, they didn't do anything like super bad. They would just put rocks in your shoes and...
So they're mischievous.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
We already have one of those.
Yeah, he's in bed
he's
right now.
He's sleeping upstairs.
He's definitely
he's
a Lutin.
Four.
He's a Lutin. He's a Lutin for punishment.
I put my foot in my shoe all the time, and I end up stepping on a dinosaur.
Yeah.
So, there's that. But there's good news. If you're trying to keep Lutins away, any Lutins, they don't like salt.
Hmm.
So, the Native Americans believed the Nain Rouge to be an impish offspring of the stone god.
Okay.
So, what do you think the Nain Rouge looks like?
In my mind, I picture this little red dude with a long, pointy nose, shoes that turn up, and he's got a
goblin
stick.
Shoes.
Yeah, he's got goblin shoes.
He's got a stick. He's
got a stick.
Well, there are many descriptions of what the Nain Rouge looks like. Small, childlike creature with red or black fur, blazing red eyes, and rotten teeth. So, I wonder if all Lutin look like that, or if...
Well, they might not have a good dental plan, it's a possibility.
According to Marie Caroline Watson Hamelin's 1883 Legends of Les Détroits, the creature was very red in the face, with bright glistening eyes instead of burning. It froze instead of possessing depth, emitted a cold gleam like the reflection from a polished surface, bewildering and dazzling all who came within its focus, and with a grinning mouth displaying sharp pointed teeth, which completed this strange face.
Hmm.
Another description, small creature, red or black fur, covering an animal's body, but with the face of an old man.
Okay.
So, there you go. So, we have a few sightings here of the Nain Rouge. July 30th of 1763, the dwarf was spotted near the Detroit River. The next day, Pontiac killed over 60 men during the Battle of Bloody Run. And I believe that I read somewhere that the Nain Rouge was spotted after this battle, dancing around the bodies in the field. And apparently the Detroit River turned red with blood.
Huh.
So... That's...
He's a gruesome little guy.
That gives you a little visual. And that might be why some people think that he's completely bad. 40 years later, in the spring of 1805, people saw the dwarf walking through the streets of Detroit, and on June 11th of that year, a fire burned down most of the town.
Okay, so when's the last sighting of this guy, besides the party they have every year now?
Well, I'm not done yet.
I'm just kind of curious.
I'm going through a list. There's a list. You're so impatient. You just rush me through everything. General William Hull, the only officer in American history to be sentenced to death for military incompetence, claimed that he saw the Red Dwarf grinning at him in 1813 when he surrendered Detroit to the Boston Army.
Yeah, he should have never surrendered. He can blame the name Rouge all he likes, but...
Yeah. So. Someone saw the name Rouge before the week-long riots started in 1967.
See, now that's what I was going to say. I was going to say, are we going to get into some modern times where somebody thinks that they've seen this little dude? Other than they've been drinking.
We're actually approaching... This is the last time that the name Rouge was seen. The name Rouge was seen climbing up a utility pole by either utility workers... or policemen on March 1st, 1976. Shortly after that, Detroit was hit with one of the worst ice storms the city had ever seen. And nobody's seen him since then.
Well, it's not like the things have been getting much better out there.
So an ice storm struck Detroit in 1997, worse than the first one. And in 2004, the city had a huge blackout. In 2013, the city of Detroit filed for Chapter 9 bankruptcy. But... it seems that Detroit is making a comeback with new businesses popping up and rent and housing values increasing. So maybe the Marche du Nain Rouge is actually working.
Maybe they're appeasing him by, you know, celebrating him a little bit and just stroking his ego.
Yeah, but they're not really celebrating him. And apparently there's this guy that goes there and he like holds up signs like defending the Nain Rouge and stuff. And people don't like it. People like... smack his signs out of his hands and like are just like super mean to him. And I mean it's not just him, obviously there's a couple people that are like, oh, go Nain Rouge, but like not because they want,
everybody likes the underdog.
well not because they like want bad luck to keep happening to Detroit, but because they believe that the Nain Rouge comes to warn them, like that the Nain Rouge is not the harbinger of the bad luck, but comes to warn them and try to help them and save them from the bad luck.
But how is it, if the Nain Rouge is coming to warn them, I mean, shouldn't he do more than just be seen? Like, what's up? Yo, homie. Oh, something bad coming? I can't really tell you, but you're seeing me, so something's coming your way. I mean, what would the city have done to stop the ice storm? Nothing. I mean, the bankruptcy thing, yeah, they probably could have worked ahead of that a little ways, but...
Well...
It's interesting, though, I mean, how people take and use folklore and fables, which, hey, I'm not saying there's no truth to it. I mean, a little red guy with a pointy stick and elf shoes probably tend to get your interest. Yeah, I don't know. I'm struggling with that one a little bit. It's cool. Yeah,
but... It's very French.
Yeah.
But I mean, wouldn't you think that if all of this started because Cadillac offended him, wouldn't you think that the people of Detroit would now be trying to appease him?
Well, maybe that's what they're doing with the party. Maybe
they're banishing him. They chase somebody dressed as the Nain Rouge around Detroit and are like, "Get out of here! We hate you."
Well, that's rude.
Leave. Like, wouldn't you think that they would, like, kind of maybe apologize?
Bring him in and buy him some beer?
Yeah, and be like, hey.
Let's do shots.
Let's be buds. But instead, they keep insulting him more.
I'm sure the Nain Rouge is a blast on Fireball.
I think they should just listen to what the fortune teller told them to do. They should just be appeasing the Nain Rouge instead of banishing him and being mean to him.
Let the send some letters to the... Detroit politicians and say, hey, appease the Rouge.
He's just a poor little red guy.
Yeah, with a stick.
He just wants love like everyone else.
Yeah, with a stick.
What does a stick have to do with anything?
He carries it.
Okay. That is the first half. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Okay, welcome back to the second half of our third episode. Before we get into this, I just wanted to mention that last night I got Michael to watch Mean Girls for the first time ever, and he kind of liked it. He might not admit it right now, but he told me earlier in the car that he liked it.
It was okay. It was cute.
Tell me the truth.
They're so mean.
I will say that he laughed the hardest when the girls got hit by the bus.
That was the best part.
Okay.
That's why I had to watch Rambo tonight. I had to free myself from that memory of Mean Girls.
He needed some man stuff.
So he needed some Rambo. Tomorrow it's going to be the John Wick marathon.
Tomorrow's my turn.
Oh, great.
You got Rambo tonight. And we had, like, what did we have on Saturday? We had
that Frontier movie. That was good.
Death Proof. And we had third or 13th Frontier or something like that.
Death Proof.
There's, like, new movie on Netflix. Okay, so when you think of Christmas but not Christmas and like Christmas horror stories, who do you think of?
The overplayed, over movie made Krampus. Or, you know, I do find myself from time to time thinking of Billy Bob Thornton and Bad Santa. That's just a good movie.
Okay, well, we're not talking about either of those monsters.
Billy Bob Thornton's a monster.
A little. Okay. So, we're going to be talking about Gryla.
Don't know her.
Yeah, well, that's good for you. Maybe.
That might be.
Maybe. Okay, so before I tell you about Gryla and her children and her pet, I have to tell you about Yule. So I'm just going to give a very brief intro into Yule, because I don't want to take up too much time talking about it. But Yule this year begins on December 22nd and ends on January 2nd. Yule is short for Yuletide and is a festival historically observed by Germanic peoples. It is often connected with the Wild Hunt, the god Odin, and the pagan Anglo-Saxon Maudrenite, I think that's how you say it, which means Night of the Mothers or Mother's Night. I mean, it's basically, it starts when on the shortest day.
So that'd be the winter solstice.
Yeah. So it starts on the shortest day of the year. And then it stops on...
Well, it's I mean, all the days are the same length. It's the shortest amount of sunlight.
Yeah, the shortest amount of sunlight.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so during the Yule, we have some fancy characters who over time have become kind of cuddly and squishy because...
We've made them cuddly and squishy.
Yeah, well, we had Santa, and they didn't want the people celebrating Yule to not have fun.
Okay.
Kind of, sort of. Which I'll talk about why the mean, scary stuff ended in a little bit. Okay, so Gryla, whose name loosely means growler, is part of Icelandic Christmas folklore. The first mention of her is in the 13th century. She's a giantess with an appetite for the flesh of mischievous children, who she cooks in a large pot.
That's not very Christmassy.
Gryla started out in older tales as a troll, but it was not until the 17th century that she was linked to Christmas.
Why would you link that to Christmas?
Because the Yule lads needed a mother. And I guess they thought that the best mother they could give them was Gryla. Gryla is described as a hideous being who is the mother of the gigantic Yule lads, who are a menace to children.
Well, she doesn't sound that friendly to children.
No, she is not. The oldest poems about Gryla describe her as a nag who walks around begging parents for their disobedient children.
Ooh, you know, when the timing's right, I could see her collecting kids.
They can get rid of her by giving her food or chasing her away.
Oh.
Originally, she lived in a small cottage, but later on, poems suggest that she is forced out of the town and into a faraway cave. Because I guess people just didn't want to give up their kids.
Right. Well, there's farm work to do.
There's always sacrifices to be made.
Right.
Whatever. In current stories, Gryla is able to detect children who are misbehaving year-round.
Ah, so she has a bit of Santa Claus in her.
Yeah. She's got her own naughty and nice list. During Christmas time, she comes from the mountains to search the nearby towns. She leaves her cave and hunts the children and carries them home in her big sack.
Okay, so she's kind of like Santa.
She's got a sack. She's big.
She fills it with kids. She knows when they're naughty.
Santa doesn't fill his sack with kids.
Well, he fills them with toys. He's just as creepy as her. Everybody here is a stalker. Santa's a creepy stalker. She's a stalker that eats the kids. I mean, this is like stalker tales.
This is not a war on Santa.
It's not a war. Just an observation.
She ends up eating the children. Her favorite dish is said to be a stew of naughty kids. Oof. This is my favorite part. Honestly. Apparently, she's been married 3 times.
To who?
Trolls. Other trolls who think that she's good looking. She's the best of the trolls.
Oh, right.
Yeah. They're slim pickings for man trolls.
In the house. Hey, baby. What do you got in that sack? You got some kids in there?
You're so sick. You're such a creep.
I got some parsley.
The only thing he has to offer her is parsley.
Slim pickings.
Well, if she's been married 3 times, I don't think the pickings are slim for her.
No, but his pickings were slim.
Okay, so she's been married 3 times and has countless amounts of children, but only her children with her current husband, I think it's pronounced Lepaluthi, are spoken of. I read somewhere that she ate one of her husbands when she got bored with him. So her first husband, she ate him because she got bored with him. And she killed and ate her second husband as well after the two had, like, a massively large number of troll children.
So she's like, that's it. No more kids.
We're done. And then she got married again and started having more children. She is often shown as beating and berating her husband.
All right, so I think this is...
So this is a great story to read to children. Right. One poem written about Gryla goes, "Here comes Gryla from the outer fields with a bag on her back, a knife in her hand, coming to carve out the stomachs of the children who cry for meat during Lent."
That's just bad.
So terrible. It's terrifying. I couldn't imagine, like, being a little 4-year-old and my mom is, like, reading this to me to scare the crap out of me so that I don't misbehave.
Or get out from your bed or out front of the covers until the sun gets... Let's tell these stories to the boy.
Yeah. Probably not. I mean, honestly, I think that he would think it was cool.
I think he would, too.
He watches, like, Monster House and stuff, and he thinks it's, like, the best thing ever. He thinks it's amazing. He's not scared of anything.
No.
He's never, like, come down afraid...
Except the roosters.
...with nightmares or anything like that. So I think that he would, like, not even care. He'd be like, oh, this is so great.
Awesome.
And then he'd tell other children, and that's where the problems begin.
That's so funny. So Gryla, how many kids does she have out there?
Supposedly 82.
82 kids from 3 husbands.
But we're only going to talk about 13. It's silly to us here when we hear about Gryla and stuff, but... Children in Iceland are legitimately terrified of Gryla. They are, like, very afraid of her. I read this story about a guy going to a school and drawing a picture of Gryla, and several of the children had to leave the room because they were so scared.
Jeez.
Now Gryla is not the only one enjoying the Yuletide. She has 13...
Is she only active during that time? I mean, she not...
In prior versions, no. But as of late, yes.
So she's got 10 days to make multiple kids.
Not 10. Not, so they're doing 13 days.
Okay.
So all of this starts 13 days. I think everything starts 13 days before Christmas. So 13 days leading up to Christmas. And then the Yule lads, don't all leave. All of them
But the Yule festival is only from December 22nd till January 4th.
Yes. I'll get into it when I talk about the dates for the Yule lads. So we have 13 Yule lads, that wreak havoc all about for the last 13 days of December leading up to Christmas. Because of the American Christmas, because of Santa Claus and stuff like that, the Yule lads have been softened up a bit and turned into chubby little Santa lookalikes instead of the gruesome hairy trolls they really are.
Huh.
So our sweet little Yule lads that like to run around and cause mischief now and do sweet things for kids if they've been good and just a
they
silly
do good
thing.
Things?
Yeah.
Oh.
Before all this started, the Yule lads would help Gryla. They would go into these towns and they would help Gryla kidnap these children and eat them. They would all just have a...
What's with the change of heart?
I'll get there. So the sweet, cute version of Yule lads are a bit nicer. For good children, they leave candy and shoes. And for naughty children, they leave rotting potatoes.
Okay.
Their shoes. I don't know about you, but I would personally rather have coal.
Yeah, than a rotting potato.
So there are 13 Yule lads. December, so the very first arrival comes on December 12th. And this Yule lad stays until the 25th of December. So Sheep Coat Claude, he chases, picks up, rides, and scares sheep. He's not always successful since he has two peg legs. Gully Gawk is there from the 13th till the 26th and steals foam from buckets of cow's milk. Stubby is there from the 14th till the 27th. He's short and steals food from frying pans.
That was my nickname in 8th grade.
Stubby?
No, frying pan. So, you know, interesting side note as you're telling all these. You know, I'm a December baby.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm a Yule lad on December 26th.
I don't think any of them show up on December 26th.
That's because it's me.
Yeah, well, who's on the 25th then?
Santa.
Okay, we're going to move on from this. Pot Scraper comes the 16th through the 29th. He eats all the dang leftovers. Okay. Bowl Licker.
All these great names.
Yeah. Very original.
Yeah.
It comes the 17th.
Pot Scraper,
and Bowl Licker, and Spoon Licker.
Nice.
Yeah. So Bowl Licker is there the 17th through the 30th. They sound a lot more amazing in not English. So we're clear. He steals bowls of food from under the bed. Apparently back in the olden days, that's where Icelanders used to sometimes store bowls of food, was under the beds.
Yeah, the kids get in trouble now for bowls of food under the bed.
Well, we don't have to worry about that.
No.
Because our son has a loft bed, not because he doesn't
have
a bed.
Kitchen under there.
Door Slammer is there the 18th through the 31st. He stomps around and slams doors, keeping everyone awake. So Skur Gobbler is the 19th through the 1st. He eats up all of the Icelandic yogurt, which they call Skur or Skyr.
Okay.
Some variation of that word. Sausage Swiper. like, that's the first time I've ever gotten, like, a legit laugh out of you. You like that one?
That poor guy.
He's there the 20th through the 2nd.
He's... I bet.
He steals and eats all of the sausage, naturally.
Rude.
Window peeper. Is there the 21st or the 3rd?
Untrue. They're here all year long. The police arrest them all the time.
He creeps outside of the windows and steals stuff he sees inside. Door sniffer.
Well, he could have been a lot worse. At least it's a door.
He's there the 22nd through the 4th. His huge nose allows him to sniff out baked goods so that he can steal them. Meat hook. So it went from like these silly little names to meat hook that got so aggressive so quickly.
I'm right now going in my mind to Guardians of the Galaxy where and he says, my name is Taserface. And they just totally make fun of him. It's a horrible, horrible name. So meat hook is just as bad as Taserface.
He's there the 23rd through the 5th, and he uses his meat hook to, like...
Swipe sausage?
No. Oh. Well, any meat, really. Hence, meat hook.
Well, him and a sausage swiper gotta go at it.
So he, like, I guess in illustrations of him, it's depicted that he puts his hook down the chimney and swipes whatever meat is cooking...
Over the fire.
So he snatches up any meat left out, especially smoked lamb. That's his favorite.
Gross.
Our last little Yule lad is the candle beggar. And he's there the 24th through the 6th. He steals candles and most likely used to eat them as they were made from cow fat. Yeah. Right. So we think that this is cutesy and kind of funny and like whatever. You know, they're just mischievous. But just consider... In the 1700s in Iceland, they didn't have these things that they couldn't just go to the store and get this stuff, right? They produced all of these things.
I need to go get more sausage. Sausage flavor got it.
And it took them a lot of time to do it, right? And that's kind of terrifying in reality when you really think about it, that these little thieves are spending 13 days each in these people's houses and just stealing all of their stuff.
So
and
it
just
would taking behoove away. The kids in that day to pay attention to this because, you know, if they started swiping sausage on the 12th, they'd get in trouble because sausage swiper didn't come that early. So they'd need to know who to blame.
Oh, man. But even the kids wouldn't be doing this because they knew that it had to, like, feed their whole family, and that's really scary, right?
Well, they didn't want to get eaten by Gryla because they were being bad.
Yeah. Also that. But remember, the Yule lads were known to also kidnap children.
Help feed Gryla.
So in 1746, well, before we talk about 1746, we also should talk about the sweet little fluffy pet that this wonderful cuddly family has.
Okay.
Yeah? So no family is complete without a pet. And... this one is no different. Gryla and the Yule lads have a giant cat.
Oh.
But the cat is just as scary as the rest of them. If anyone, adult or child, has not received new clothing before Christmas Eve, the Yule cat eats them.
Oh my.
So yeah. So the whole family eats children and the Yule cat eats adults as well.
Well, you know, reduce the surplus population.
Rude. So, just going into 1746, a royal decree about religious practice and domestic discipline made it so that parents were banned from disciplining their children by scaring them with horror stories of monsters like the Yule lads. So, legit...
You could beat those kids, but don't you tell them stories.
Royalty was like, the king was like, no, you can no longer do this. Like, this is not okay. And I'm assuming that his dad did it to him many times for him to be like, no, this is so wrong. You're scarring these children for the rest of their lives. Stop it.
But you could still beat him.
But... to be fair, you know, they were living in a harsh environment, you know.
Sure.
They were being brought up in a place that wasn't so kind, and they think that their parents were making these stories up to tell them so that they could toughen them up a little.
Okay.
So, really fast, going back into the lads just a little bit. So, we said that there's 82 different lads and trolls, because apparently there's a mix of them. Some stories suggest the Yule lads were children of Eve that she hid from God, and he banished them to another world once he discovered them.
Oh.
Yeah. Some other sources suggest the Yule lads are fallen angels.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
So the Yule lads are looked at as a real thing. Its origin is just the matter of debate.
Well, yeah, like with any story that goes back that far, right? So that kind of concludes our Yule...
That's it for the Yule lads?
People, yeah.
We can't go I really want this.
Hard to find any stories. I was looking for, like, terrifying stories about the Yule lads, and you can't find anything.
I'm here to tell you that you've covered 13 of the Yule lads. She had 82 of them, and it sounds like there's quite a few out there that need names that I think I should go through and create a name for all the ones that are missing. I'd have foot sniffer, earwax something. I mean, we could really, really do these.
You Yule, act like a 12-year-old boy.
These Yule lads up. I'll have the boy help me name them.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
So I will say that it's really been kind of fun. I know we're almost up to 100 listeners, and as you dig through the material, and I just get to sit back and be dumb, which doesn't take me a lot of work. It's been interesting to see the comments that you've been getting from the people and watching the podcast grow. It's definitely very cool. We're looking forward to bringing lots more, maybe... scarier material too, hopefully in the future.
Yeah.
I don't really have any issues this evening going to sleep dreaming of spoon liquor, you know?
Well, to be fair, it's not time for spoon liquor to even be here. 1, 2, I could tell you any story I wanted to, and it wouldn't faze you. It wouldn't be anything. You wouldn't care.
I'd watch Rambo.
So yeah, I just want to say thanks to everyone who's listened this far. And I want to say thanks to anybody who listened to the first 2 episodes and gave us feedback and joined in on Twitter or on Instagram.
Make suggestions. I mean, well, ideas would be cool. I mean, everything from if you want to help me name the rest of these Yule lads to hillbilly music, like I mentioned before, make suggestions of some things you'd like to hear or to discuss.
Last 2 points of business. Next week is the 3rd week of the month, and we'll be talking about some random paranormal topic. And then also, we will most likely be adding in a bonus episode, which will be uploaded during a weekend at some point. We're going to be talking to our powwow expert, Rob Phoenix, which we talked about him in the first episode when we talked about Ray Myers Hollow. And if you guys have any questions for Rob Phoenix, it would be great if you guys would share those questions with us so that when we do interview Rob, we have those questions ready. We obviously have our own questions, but it would be great if you guys kind of joined in and offered up some questions too.
Sounds good.
Okay. Thanks. We'll see you guys next week.